Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, you know, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Lord, when I tried to think about all that you are about, it's beyond my puny and finite mind. Lord, the only thing I can do, because I can't wrap my mind around it, but the only thing I can do is just fall on my face and say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light.
7 days a week, right? And I put my vitamins in each day. And, you know, each day, you know, and you flip, you know, snap the lid back on. And so I'll pop the lid off, you know, take my supplements for one day, pop the lid. Well, you know, it came down to the last day where I had supplements for one day left in one of the boxes. I hit the first one, and it wasn't there. The second one, and it wasn't there. I'm saying, man, which one is it in? Which one is it in? I couldn't even by chance. It was the seventh one that I finally hit, and my vitamins were in there. Man, if I have a hard time on the seventh day trying to find out which box my vitamins were in, you can imagine how difficult it would be for a blind man to pick out a silver dollar in 2 feet across the state of Texas. Somebody said it. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. But yet and still, we see that being the case in Jesus Christ. Let's look at 6 prophecies concerning the birth. So we're just going to do this. We're just going to look at the birth of Christ. Genesis 3:15. The time of the prophecy is sometimes before 2500 B.C. And what does Genesis 3:15 say? It said that he would be born of the seed of the woman. And we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 that prophecy concerning the birth of Christ was fulfilled, that it says that he was born of the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3 and 22:18, 2,000 years before the prophecy was fulfilled, it says that he would be born of the seed of Abraham. In Matthew 1:1, Galatians 3:16, Christ was born of the seed of Abraham. Oh, I'm talking about messianic prophecy now. I'm talking about messianic prophecy. In Psalm 72, written in the 9th century B.C., it said that he would receive gifts. So it said that, you know, we say that the wise men or the magi, you know, they brought gifts to the child. So let me straighten up a couple things while I'm here, while I'm visiting this, and I do it every year just about. So some of you, you can you know, say, well, I already heard this. Let me go ahead and, you know, resume what I was thinking in my mind. But for those of you who have never heard this, first of all, the wise men were not at the birth of Christ. All right? They were not at the birth of Christ. So I tell people all the time that if you have a nativity scene, right? I have a nativity scene in my yard, but it don't have any wise men. So if I ever get some wise men for my nativity, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them way on the other side of my yard, right? To say that they were on the way, all right? Because they weren't there when he was born. You know, they actually came probably about a year later, because it says, you know, actually when he was born, the Greek word there is used of a baby. But when the wise man came, the Greek word that's used there is of a young child. So, you know, there's a big difference. The second thing that I want to straighten up is that the Bible don't say there was 3 wise men. But yet and still, we always put 3 at the nativity. So we're wrong, first of all, for putting. Now, again, you know, God is not going to strike you dead if you have a nativity with wise men around it, all right? I'm just trying to get you to be theological, right? That's all I'm trying to do is get you to be theological. All right, so he's not going to strike you dead if you got wise men at your nativity scene. But you know, the second thing is that there was not three. According to some estimates, there might have been a whole entourage of wise men, that there was a whole caravan that was traveling, and that's why Herod wanted to know what was going on. You know, if three wise men just kind of snuck in, you know, and found out where he was at, you know, Herod might not even heard about it. But why did Herod want to know? Herod wanted to know, man, what is this thing coming to this city? So, you know, that likely there was more than three, okay? And, you know, I think the place we get the three from is the three gifts. So let me just straighten that up. But it is prophesied in Psalm 72 that they would, that the Messiah would receive gifts. And we see that fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2. If you go to the next slide. It says in Isaiah 7:14, in the 8th century, 700-800 years before he was born, that he would be born of a virgin, right? And you know, we were talking about virgin birth on Hard Questions, and you know, one of the guys was talking about you know, being, the question was asked, how could Jesus be born of a virgin? You know, and you know, it's just virtually impossible. And then the next logical question is that, why did Joseph, when he was getting ready to divorce her, you know, why did he go ahead and marry her? Well, let me say this. The Bible says that an angel appeared to Joseph, right? So let me ask the brothers this morning. You know, your lady or your wife was with child, and you knew it wasn't you, right? And your wife said, an angel told me, right? It would have to be God almost to come down, right, and say it. And so this angel comes to Joseph and speaks to Joseph. And so Joseph came to the realization, man, there's something special about this child. You know, I believe my wife when she says that she has never been with a man. When she says that, and she assures me of that, that's one of the traits that drew me to her, was her honesty. That's why one of the reasons I fell in love with her. Now I'm ad-libbing in the story. But Joseph had to be convinced that his wife had never known a man. And then, you know, the other thing I was thinking is that Joseph had to know, even if he still struggled with it at the time when Jesus was born, if he struggled with that issue, just think about this, that he had other kids. Unlike some religions tell you that Mary only had one. No. She had, the Bible said that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Right? So just think about what it must have been like for Joseph to look at these kids growing up and seeing all these other knucklehead kids, right? Doing stuff they weren't supposed to do. You know, hitting their brothers and sisters, right? Having to chastise them for getting into arguments. And Jesus never did anything. I mean, now, if Jesus got into an argument where he got angry and hit his brothers, then that disqualified him from being a Messiah. How can you be this? Because you got sin. Then you are not the Lamb of God without blemish. You got blemish because, you know, you did something wrong when you were growing up. And I think that Joseph must have looked at Jesus and said, you know what? If I struggled with it back then when I received this announcement, that there is something special about this boy right here. He must be who the angel said he was. And so Jesus, it was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin, and he was born of a virgin. It was prophesied that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus came and he took up residence among us. And that was fulfilled in Matthew 1:23. And then Micah 5:2, that says he would be born in Bethlehem. named the very city where he would be born. And it just so happened that Joseph and Mary had to go there because the whole world was being taxed. Okay, so let me, before I leave this, let me just give you one more myth buster. And I know that, you know, I'll just say this. Don't watch the next episode of Hard Questions, because we busted a lot of myths on there. Some of them you might not want to hear. So I'm letting you know right now. But let me just throw this myth buster out, and I think we all know this, is that Jesus was not born on December 25th. As a matter of fact, we think about, Christmas and how we like snow for Christmas. Right? But the fact is, it was probably in the early spring or early fall when Jesus was actually born. And I'll give you a couple of reasons. Number one, that the shepherds wouldn't have been in the field in the winter, right? They were already had their sheep somewhere else. So they wouldn't have been in the field in the winter. And secondly, Joseph and Mary, they would have never called for a census during the winter months. Can you imagine the people coming? I was in Israel, and I know how far it is to travel from northern Israel to Jerusalem. So they would have never called for a census in the wintertime. So it probably would have been, like I said, late spring, early fall, somewhere in there. So I hated to bust those myths. So there's other ones. Don't watch hardcore. Don't watch it. Don't watch it, because you'll be upset. You don't watch it, especially if you got little kids. Don't. Don't watch it. So you know where I'm going, right? You know where I'm going. Don't watch it. All right. All right. So there's just, I just picked right here the prophecies that are relative to the birth of Christ. But there are hundreds of others that we could have picked. Now, questions arise, right? People ask questions. Because now this is so deep that these prophecies were fulfilled with such accuracy. When you think about it, in the Old Testament, it says that they would gamble over his garments for, and it gives the amount of that they gamble for. And then we see the soldiers gambling for it. I mean, these things, we have a phrase that we use on Wednesday afternoon. You can't make this stuff up. You man, if you wanted to write a movie, you couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't write this stuff in the movie. And so it happens with so much precision that people begin to think that, there must be something else going on here. And so I'm talking about logical, intelligent, reasonable thinking people. And this is what they say to try to explain away the power of messianic prophecy. They try to explain it away. First, they say, Jesus manipulated his life to fulfill the prophecies. Right? Jesus, you think I'm cold? Look this stuff up. I'm not joking, man. Now, we might be able to say, Jesus might have been able to manipulate when he rode into the city, right? It says in, I believe, Zechariah 9:9. Don't quote me on that. I think that's what the one that he rode into the city on a donkey. Well, Jesus might have been able to manipulate that and say, okay, well, let me ride into the city and have my entourage and people say Hosanna. He might have been able to manipulate that. All right, but he didn't. He didn't, but he might have. But look at this. How could he manipulate his ancestry, his place of birth? The fact that his bones were not broken on the cross, and it was prophesied that he would not have a bone broken, that his clothes were gambled over by the soldiers, that Daniel prophesied the exact time when he would come, that he would perform miracles, and that he would rise from the dead. How could he manipulate any of that stuff? Yeah, it's people, again, let me just say this, that there is a satanic attack on Christianity. No question about it. Every other group, every other religion, you can just about, say what you want to say about their book and about their leader, right? And it's no issue. You know, but now people make all this stuff about Christianity. You know, they every day attack on the Bible, attack on Jesus. You know, I was reading something the other day. It said that Jesus never existed. He never existed on this earth. I mean, and there's actually proof outside of the Bible from history that records the fact that a man from Nazareth named Jesus performed miracles. I mean, so, you know, it's a fact. So, you know, you look at this, there was no way that Jesus could have manipulated the prophecies. Another thing they say, something else that they say, is that the gospel writers fabricated the prophecies to make it look like they were fulfilled by Jesus. So what are they saying here? They're saying, okay, when the gospel writers started writing the gospels, you know, what they did is they saw these prophecies in the Old Testament, and then they started writing, okay, he was born in Bethlehem. It says that. So we'll just put that in there, right? You know, it says that that his close friend would forsake him. So we'll just put that in there. And so they say that these things were put in there. But the thing we need to realize is that the Gospels were recorded when eyewitnesses were still around. They would have been able to refute. So let me give you a perfect example. All right, let me give you an example. Everybody knows this, right? Everybody knows this, that the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl last year. Everybody knows that, right? Y'all know that, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl. Well, how do you know they didn't win? You are eyewitnesses, right? I mean, you saw that they lost the first round, right? You were eyewitnesses. They saw the first round. So the fact that I would stand up and make a statement that the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl causes all of you to, wait a minute. You done lost your stone cold mind. What are you talking about? Steelers didn't win the Super Bowl. We all know that the Steelers didn't win. Well, if the disciples put stuff in, right, there was enough people around who were reading this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, that never happened. That never happened. And the fact is, if they made all this stuff up, let me ask you, how many people in here, if you lied about something, that you would die for the lie that you told? Now, some of y'all might. I don't know. You know, I don't know. You know, if I told a lie, you know, I think I might stick till the end, right? Until they say, okay, well, tomorrow's your day of execution. Well, you know, I was lying. I really wasn't telling the truth, right? But these folks died. They died for a lie. They died for a lie. You know, why would they put stuff in there and die for the stuff that they put in there if it wasn't true? And then the third thing, someone will say that, you know how you got your computer and you can click insert? You know, you can insert something into your document. Well, they say that, well, people went back to the Old Testament and they inserted these things in there because Jesus already lived his life and they knew what was going to happen. And so they went back and they inserted these things in the Old Testament so it could look like it was prophesying that Jesus would do these things. But he really didn't do it. They just inserted it in there. So my argument is, the Old Testament was completed 300 years before Jesus even came. And it was pretty much the same, you know, after Jesus died and rose again. So that kind of shoots that whole argument in the head. So what are we left with here, saints? What are we left with? I got four things that I want to share with you, and then I'm done, right? We're talking about the promised light. The promised light. And what is the promised light? The fact that Jesus was spoken of in the Old Testament and that he fulfilled the things that were spoken of him in the Old Testament. Four things, and I'm done. The first thing is that messianic prophecy demonstrates that there is a divine mind behind the writing of the Bible. I showed you the accuracy of man when man makes predictions. everything that God said in this word in a prophetic way has come true or either is yet to be fulfilled in the future. This only a divine mind could predict something ahead of time and then make it happen. Wow. Man, if you don't trust God for any other reason, man, do you understand how powerful that is? The fact that God could say something at some point 2,000 years before it happened, at other points 1,000 years, 800, 700, 600, he could say it before it happens, and it comes true. Man, if for nothing else, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because there is a divine mind behind the writing of this word. The second thing it shows is that this divine mind had a plan. That this divine mind had a plan. You know, I love the track that they used to, I think it's still out, but it started out like this. Some people might not agree with this, but I like it. It says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God has a plan for humanity. And that's why, you know, I'm so hard on evolution. One of the reasons I'm so hard on evolution is because evolution says that you're just here by accident. You arose out of a slimy pit, and you just by accident morphed into a human being, and then you are headed back to that slimy pit in the end. And that you have no reason, no purpose for your existence here. But when I read the Bible and I understand messianic prophecy and I see that there is a God who had a plan and he revealed his plan he gave his plan in the Old Testament and he revealed his plan in the New Testament. That shows me that he has a plan for my life. Y'all often ask people that are going through problems and they're going through struggles. And I say to them, this. Whose plan are you working on? God's plan or your plan? And they'll say, well, my plan. Do you know how I always respond? Well, how's that working out for you? Right? How's that working out for you? You know, the fact that you're here, you talking to me about your issue, how's that working out for you? Right? I would rather go ahead and submit to the divine plan of God. Number three, it verifies the deity of Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of speculation about whether Jesus Christ is God or not. But the fact that, you know, he's prophesied in the Old Testament, he fulfills those prophecies in the New Testament, means that he must be God. It verifies the deity of Jesus Christ. And then finally, it inspires worship of a God who knows what is going to happen in the future before it occurs. Oh, man. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, you know, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Lord, when I tried to think about all that you are about, it's beyond my puny and finite mind. Lord, the only thing I can do, because I can't wrap my mind around it, but the only thing I can do is just fall on my face and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It inspires worship in the Almighty God. This morning, we've been talking about the promised light, the fact that the light was promised and that the light is not.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of God Mark, when God cares enough to send his very best. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books for more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.